Let's just commit our time now to the Lord. Word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this evening. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, again that we can come to the One who is alive and alive forevermore. Lord, we come into Thy holy presence this evening because we need Thee. Lord, at the outset of this gospel meeting, we come to Thee crying for Thy help, pleading, O God, that You'll come and be one of our number this evening. Help us, O God. Aid us in our worship tonight. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 270 is how we will commence our meeting tonight. 270, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. 270 is a great gospel hymn. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. We're going to have to sing even louder tonight, sing above the fireworks and all the noise and clatter that's going to go on outside. But let's hear good singing from God's house tonight. 270, we'll stand after we get the introduction. Let's stand to sing. Let's again come before the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's ask for His help and for His presence with us tonight in this gospel service. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for the cross work of Thy Son, our Savior. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for each one that is saved, that we can say it was there at the cross when our burden of sin rolled away. And Lord, we thank Thee tonight that there is still forgiveness, there is still mercy to be found at the cross. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we who are wretched and vile and far from God, we thank Thee, O God, tonight that when we come to the cross, when we come, Lord, to that place where the Son of God gave His life, died, And Lord, open that way back to God. We thank Thee that there is forgiveness. We thank Thee, Lord, for that fountain that has been opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. We praise Thee, O God, tonight that it still cleanses from sin. Lord, we thank Thee that it has lost none of its power. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that right at the very commencement of this gospel meeting, Lord, that the blood will be applied to our hearts. Come and cleanse us, purify us, Lord. Those of us who know and love Thee, we ask, O God, for the sanctifying power of God, the Holy Spirit. Come and wash us from us our sin. Come and cleanse us, O God, we pray. Forgive us where we have failed Thee. Forgive us, O God, for how we have fallen short. And Lord, that this night we might know what it is to be brought into that right relationship and fellowship with Thee. Our Father, we pray that tonight the blood will be applied to hearts, to all of our hearts. And Lord, the blood will be applied to this meeting. Lord, defeat the plans of sin. Lord, defeat the plans of wickedness. And Lord, that this night You'll drive back the forces of hell. And Lord, we'll see a highway made in this place for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for this good news. We rejoice, O God, tonight for the gospel message that we have to proclaim. Not here, Lord, to bring our own thoughts. Not here, Lord, O God, to bring our own intentions. But Lord, we're here to bring the Word of God, God's message to this world, that glorious gospel message that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, save lost souls in this meeting tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray You'll speak. Speak very clearly. Lord, speak far beyond the voice of a man. Lord, speak with Thy voice. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take sinners out of the deadness of their sin, bring them into new life, bring them, Lord, to the light of the gospel. And Lord, that this night we might, Lord, see the hand of God at work in the salvation of precious souls. Lord, make this place, Lord, the birthplace of some soul tonight, someone who's come into this meeting out of Christ and far from God, away from Thee. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll speak. And Lord, that this night they might be brought from darkness to light. Our Father, we pray You'll remember those who cannot gather with us this evening. We ask, O God, tonight You'll remember those who would love to be here, but because of age and infirmity, they can no longer gather with us. Lord, we pray that You'll minister to them. Keep our elderly safe in their own homes. Watch over them especially over these winter months, O God, we pray. Keep them, Lord, from all harm and danger. Lord, we ask, O God, that You'll keep Your hand upon them for good. Remember, Lord, those tonight who are unwell. Lay Your healing hand upon them, O God. Pray for Deborah tonight. We pray for Tom tonight. We ask, O God, again for our sister Betty. Lord, draw near to these Thy children. Lord, they need that touch from Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight they might know the healing grace of God flowing into their bodies at this time. Our Father, we pray tonight for those who are careless about the things of God. Lord, those who have gone away from Thee, Lord, those who have allowed themselves to be drifted away from their first love, Lord, bring the prodigals back, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll restore such, Lord, to that the joy of their salvation, and Lord, that they might know even tonight the restoring and, Lord, the restoration of their souls. O God, we thank Thee tonight that though we have wandered, we thank Thee, O God, that there's still mercy with Thee. Heavenly Father, we pray this evening, come and restore the wanderers. Lord, those who are far from Thee, speak to their hearts, O God, we ask. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of the Word, not only here in Sandown tonight, but across our land and across our nation. Lord, we realize tonight just how far, as a people, as a nation, we've wandered from Thee. Lord, people enjoying the things of this world, Lord, out seeking to get pleasure in the things of this world. Oh God, we pray that tonight You'll make the things of this world bitter to their taste. And Lord, we pray that You'll make them miserable in their sin. Lord, we pray that by Thy free grace, You would arrest them. And Lord, by irresistible grace, bring them to Thyself. Oh God, we pray. We, Lord, pray for this area. We pray for this community. We pray for this city. Lord, turn it upside down for God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You'll bless even throughout this week. Lord, we pray tonight that You'll bless even on the outreach. Lord, as we go out on Tuesday morning, Lord, with these leaflets to distribute around this area. Lord, we pray it'll be owned and used of God. Lord, prepare hearts even to receive,
the simple message of salvation. Bless throughout this week. Bless on Tuesday night, Lord, in the Explorers Club. Bring many boys and girls in unto the sound of the Word of God. Bless on Thursday night in our Bible study and prayer meeting. Give us, Lord, as a people, that hunger and that desire to know more and to learn more about the things of God. Lord, we pray for our church worldwide tonight. We pray, Lord, for every sister congregation of the Free Church tonight. Encourage them, O God, we pray. Bless them. And O God, we pray that you'll be pleased to come once again and visit this vine, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we look to Thee. Lord, our hope and our help is in Thee. And so, Lord, we pray that this evening you will be pleased, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit, take control of this meeting. Pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, we pray that even the very atmosphere of this sanctuary tonight, Lord, will be permeated with God, the Holy Spirit. So hear and answer prayer. Give us help to and aid us to worship Thee aright tonight. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are turning this evening for our scripture reading to the book of Romans. Romans and the chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read the first 19 verses of this chapter together. The book of Romans, of course, is Paul's greatest letter, his most profound letter dealing with the defense of the gospel. And as we come to consider the gospel tonight, what it really is, then we pray the Lord would speak to us through his word, that as we look at these words, the Lord would speak to us. Romans chapter 1, and let's read together from verse number 1 down to the end of verse 19. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, and that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now would it not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, but I might have some fruit among you also even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Amen. At this stage, we want to welcome you all along to our evening gospel service. We're glad to see you in the house of God this evening. We rejoice to see you all this evening. To those as well who are watching online, we pray the Lord will bless you as you meet with us tonight. Can I very quickly go through some announcements? We have on Tuesday the start of our outreach, and the leaflets are available. Tonight, if you'd like to take some with you and use them even in your own home, your community, or your neighborhood, and invite somebody along, then please do arm yourself with some of those outreach leaflets. But this Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we'll meet here at the church for those who can come, and we'll cover as much area as we can. It is our plan to use the next four Tuesdays in the month of November to get as many of these outreach leaflets out as possible. So if you can help us Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we'll meet here at the church. Then on Tuesday evening as well at 7 p.m., that will be the Explorers Club. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, our Bible study and prayer meeting. Friday is Presbytery night, being the first Friday of the month at 8 o'clock. Then also we'll have further outreach on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., meeting here at the church. And for those who maybe are not able to help on Tuesday, you're welcome to join with us on Saturday morning. And if you come on Tuesday morning, you're also welcome to come back and help us on Saturday morning as well, if you can. Next Lord's Day, Sunday School Bible Class, 10:15. And then we have our morning worship at 11:30, Sunday School in Hollywood at 2:30, and our gospel service at 6:30. Our singer next Sunday evening in the will of the Lord is our brother, Mr. Robbie Hare from Lurgan. If you still have missionary boxes to bring in, then please do that as soon as possible. And if you would like a missionary box, I don't know if there are any still available, but if you would like to take a missionary box and use them, they're brought in twice a year. But if you'd like to have a missionary box in your home that you can just put money into as you can, then please do see William or Richard, and they will be only too glad to give you a missionary box. Do you remember our remembrance service on the 14th of November at 6:30? And there will be those along to lay wreaths on that occasion, God willing. Session will meet on Tuesday the 9th of November at 8 p.m. And our full committee of elders and deacons will meet on Tuesday the 23rd of November, also at 8 p.m. Do remember our shoebox appeal. And again, if you can help us on that, that would certainly be appreciated. Do remember all those who need our prayers, many in the congregation who are not well at this time. Pray particularly for Deborah Glenn. She has been moved today to the Royal and awaiting further tests. So do pray for Deborah at this time. Do continue to remember our brother Tom, that the Lord will be with him as he receives further treatment this coming week. No offerings being taken up, but you can place your offerings and tithes in the boxes as you leave. And again, still some copies of LTBS magazine and the calendar for next year. The magazines are free, but the calendar is $3.50, and all the proceeds go to support the work of Let the Bible Speak. Let's turn, well, you will not turn because you don't have your hymn book. Old Habits Die Hard. 335 is our next hymn before we come to the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn again, please. Let's stand to sing. Turning back to Romans chapter 1, please. We want to look tonight at the subject, what really is the gospel? What really is the gospel? Pray the Lord will speak to our hearts this evening as we come to consider this matter before us this evening. You will hear for sure better preachers of the gospel than this one, but you'll never hear a better gospel. And it's the gospel tonight that we want to consider. The gospel of saving grace. And while it may come in the frailness and weakness of man's ability to preach, yet the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And even tonight, would it be a wonderful thing this Reformation night that someone were to be saved by that glorious gospel? Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. If you know and love the Lord, then pray with us and pray for us. God would speak to our hearts as we consider His word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight again for Thy word. Lord, what a thrill it is for us to have Thy word in our own language. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for those who gave their lives, for those, Lord, who gave so much of their lives to translate the Scriptures into the English language. And, oh God, we thank Thee tonight that we can have this Word. We thank Thee, oh God, tonight that by the Holy Spirit we can understand this Word. And, oh God, I pray tonight for help from heaven to rightly divide the Word. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for the Spirit of the living God to apply the Word to our hearts. Lord, do Thy work, we pray. Oh God, we pray tonight that this gospel meeting will be a gospel meeting like none other. Lord, descend upon us. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll speak to hearts. Lord, we pray that You'll speak to us and speak through us. And Lord, this night, someone in this meeting might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for us. Continue on with us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So what really is the gospel? I wonder if I were to ask you that question, how would you answer it? If you were to write down this evening the answer to this question, what really is the gospel, how would you answer it? How would you define the gospel? You see, tonight for we who are saved, yes, we have a duty to defend the gospel. We've also a duty to declare the gospel. But we also must understand what the gospel really is. This is the gospel service. This is the gospel meeting. But what really is the gospel? How would we define the gospel? Tonight there is so much confusion about what the gospel is. It was the case in the days of the reformers as well. The Church of Rome, which was in the ascendancy for so much of that period, had so challenged and undermined the true gospel of the Scriptures that the message of the gospel had become so confusing to so many. And today, in 2021, this same confusion abounds. In Rome, the liberals, the modernists, have so diluted the gospel by adding to it or taking away from it to such an extent that people really don't know what the gospel is anymore. And there's a problem with that. And here's the problem with the uncertainty and with the confusion that reigns tonight about the gospel, is that many people see the gospel as being irrelevant. To many, it's just another religion. To many, it's just another way to God. And the gospel has lost significance in the lives of so many tonight. And sadly, even in the lives of those who profess the name of Christ, the gospel doesn't seem to matter. Because there is no interest in a gospel meeting. There's no interest in gospel missions. Thank God tonight to see all who have gathered in God's house. Thank you. And it is so encouraging to see so many in God's house tonight. But there are those tonight, and they profess the name of Christ, and yet they would never think about coming to God's house on a Sunday night to the gospel meeting, because it seems the gospel has lost its importance to them. Well, tonight on this Reformation Sunday, no better time could we take than now at this gospel service on this day. 504 years ago, when Martin Luther took that stand for the gospel, that gospel that had changed his life, that had transformed his life, to consider tonight, what really was he standing for? And tonight to look at the scriptures, to see what is the gospel. The true gospel, the only gospel that can save. Tonight in this meeting, if you're here without Christ, this is the same gospel that will change your life. Luther searched for peace. He searched for meaning. Where did he find it? He found it in the gospel of God. He didn't find it in a system of religion. He didn't find it in a church. He found it in the gospel. And I pray that tonight God will so work in your heart and speak to you this evening, you would find this gospel tonight to the saving of your soul. Let's consider then what the gospel really is. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the claims of the gospel. The claims of the gospel. We're going to consider what the gospel is, then we need to start at the start. We need to see what the gospel claims. Not in the minds of man, but in the mind of God. Notice the first claim of the gospel. The author of the gospel. If you have your Bibles, I hope still open at Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Here's the first fundamental claim of the gospel, the author of the gospel. It's the gospel of God. The book of Romans, as I've said, is regarded as the finest and greatest of Paul's writings about the gospel. And look how he defines it. It's the gospel of God. This gospel that he goes on to defend and to declare, he starts with a very fundamental point, and he says, this gospel is the gospel of God. What an important place to start. Because you see, whenever man starts to tamper and mess with the gospel, they're messing with God. Whenever man starts to add to the gospel or take away from the gospel, they are tampering with God. And that's a fearful thing. The gospel that we seek to preach, it's not man's gospel. It's not the church's gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's divine in its origin. And you see tonight, the only gospel that will save your life is the gospel of God. Other gospels might reform you, but only the gospel of God will transform you. The gospel that's devised not in the minds of man, not in the minds of church leaders, but in the mind of a triune God. And that gospel that is revealed to us in the Word of God. One of the great solas of the Reformation, sola scriptura. Scriptures, and the Scriptures alone. You see, tonight there are many, and for them it's the Scriptures plus, and the Scriptures plus.
Tonight it's the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. It is in the Scriptures alone that we find the gospel of God. And all other gospels are frauds and they are shams, and they'll do nothing. Do nothing to change your life. Oh, sinner, this evening, what you need to hear, it's not what a church says. It's not what man says. You need to hear what God says tonight. And let's start at the very beginning. This is God's gospel. Because listen tonight, you don't stand condemned before man or a church. You stand condemned before God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, those standards that God has required. So this gospel is His. So the first claim of the gospel is the author of it. It's God. And tonight you will stand, you will answer to God, because you've sinned against Him. You've rebelled against Him. I want you to notice another claim of the gospel, not only the author of it, but also the authority of it. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter 1 for a moment and turn over a few books to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is a very strong defense of the gospel, particularly in relation to the authority of the gospel, because when Paul was writing to the churches at Galatia, he was writing to a people who had departed from the gospel. They had departed from truth. They were departing from the gospel of God, and they were preaching a different gospel. Notice what Paul says, verse number 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, verse 7, which is not another. The important word there is another. And in verse 7, it means a totally different gospel. Not just a variant, but an entirely different gospel than the gospel that they were called to preach. And in so doing, Paul is saying to them, there is only one gospel. The gospel is the authoritative word of God. And many tonight have removed themselves from the gospel of the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, which is not the gospel, which cannot save their souls. There's one gospel with the authority of God, and it's the gospel of the Scriptures. That gospel that by God's help I am called to preach comes with authority, not of a church, but of God Himself. The authority of the gospel. There is no other gospel, folks. There is no other word from God but from that which He has revealed in His word. The gospel, the claims of the gospel, its author is of God. The authority of the gospel, there is no other message from God. But I want you to see as well, not only the author of the gospel, the authority of the gospel, but notice another claim. Back in Romans 1, notice the announcement of the gospel. The announcement of the gospel. You see, the gospel makes an announcement or a pronouncement upon mankind. And I would say to you, this is why the gospel today is so unpopular. That's why it's always been so unpopular. Look at Romans 8:1.
Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Do you know what the gospel of God announces to this world? We are sinners. We are ungodly. We are unrighteous. As we were considering this morning in Ephesians 2, the description of the sinner. But notice what comes as a result of this. Verse 18, the wrath of God. You see, the gospel that many will hanker after today is a gospel which only has a God of love. But God is also a God of wrath. And the gospel tonight announces that you're a sinner and that you're under the wrath of God. Here is why the gospel is so disliked. Here is why man will try to dilute it and amend it. Because by nature, we don't like to be told we're bad. We don't want to think that we're under the wrath of God. We want to think that there's something good within us. Sinner, whether you want to hear it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, makes no difference. You're a sinner. You stand condemned tonight because of the gospel of God. You're a sinner under God's wrath. You're condemned already. Hell is your portion. You continue on in that state and you die in that state. Why is that? Look at verse 18 again. It's because of your ungodliness. Will that not help the religious sinner? Well, they'd like to think they're godly. They go to a church and that's enough for them. No, we're all ungodly. Not only because of our ungodliness, but notice as well, because of our unrighteousness. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing right in us. And also because in verse 18 of our belief, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This world would rather believe the lies of the devil than believe the truth of God. Those who refuse to believe that they are a sinner, those who refuse to believe they're under the wrath of God. But this is the announcement that God makes upon humanity and upon mankind. You're a sinner tonight. We're all sinners under the wrath of God. And you see, that's why we are all accountable to God tonight. This gospel, you see, makes a claim on your life. But a claim you cannot avoid. Because when you stand before God, it is not about how many times you came through the church door. It is not about how much money you paid into the church. It's not about how many good deeds you did. It is how you stand before God in the eyes of Christ with the gospel. What have you done with the gospel? Under his wrath, condemned, unforgiven, and unsaved. That's the claims of the gospel. The author of it, it's God's gospel. And any who dare to tamper with it, they're dealing with God. The authority of it, there is no other gospel. And the announcement of it, we're all sinners. Condemned and under God's wrath. But let's come a little further as we consider what the gospel really is. Not only the claims of the gospel, but come now to the centrality of the gospel. The word gospel comes from a word which simply means good news or a good message. Gospel tonight is good news. The gospel tonight is a good message.
Let's see the centrality of this gospel, which really where we see how good this news is. Come back to Romans chapter 1, verse number 3. Verse number 2 is a verse really in brackets. So in verse 1 at the end it says, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see the centrality of the gospel of God, it is concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the central message of the gospel, it's Christ. You remove Christ from the gospel, you've no gospel. You minimize the centrality of Christ in the gospel, you've minimized and you've downgraded the very heart of the gospel. But the good news tonight is, it's Christ.
But let's see a little more about this centrality. But let's see a little more about this good news. Because in verse number 3, the centrality of the gospel, we see Christ's coming. Verse 3, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Here is a reference to Christ coming into this world in order to provide salvation that the gospel declares. The glorious truth of the Son of God becoming the Son of Man in the incarnation and taking flesh into union with his deity. The coming of Christ is so vital and so important to the whole gospel message. You see, this good news tonight, the gospel, the good message tonight necessitated Christ become the Son of Man in order to be our Redeemer. It could never have been good news if Christ was not made of the seed of David according to the flesh. If Christ had remained in heaven, there would be no good news. Oh, many tonight will speak about Christ. And they'll speak about Christ, and we're coming up, of course, to that season of the year again when our thoughts will be centered upon his coming into this world. And we love all that goes along with that. But many will deny that that babe that lay in the manger was God. The Son of God, his Son. Look at verse 3 again. His Son, whose Son? God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. They will deny the deity of Christ, the divinity of Christ. Yet without that, there's no gospel. Sinner tonight, Christ could never be your Savior if he had never come into this world. Christ's coming. But there's also Christ's crucifixion. And this is where it all goes wrong for so many. Because many don't want to think about the crucifixion or the cross of Christ. They don't want to think about the scoffing of Christ. They don't want to think about the mocking of Christ. They don't want to think about the blood of Christ. It turns too many people off. But just as his coming into this world is so central to this gospel, so too is his crucifixion. Paul writing in Galatians 1 and the verse 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins. Brings us to the cross. We've been singing about the cross tonight because the cross is central to the gospel. Christ came to Bethlehem to go to Calvary. Who gave himself for our sins.
Christ brought to the cross, brought to that place of shame and sorrow, brought to that place of suffering and scorn, brought to that place where he endured the contradiction of sinners, brought to that place where Christ died in the sinner's place, brought to that place where Christ was made sin for us. Luther describes that as the greatest exchange in history. Christ took our sin, his own body, on the cross. And as he was made sin for us, he stood guilty. And he stood guilty before a holy God. And because of that, a holy God turned his back upon his Son. McGee and Luther describing that, God forsaken of God. Think about it. God the Father turning his back on his Son on the cross as he stood guilty, condemned. He had cloaked the whole world in darkness and blackness. A holy God could not look upon sin, but in order to atone sin, he placed our sin on his Son and he turned his back. His only Son. And yet many tonight go about with preaching a gospel that has no cross in it. It's not the gospel of God. Because central to the gospel of God is Christ's coming. Central to the gospel of God is Christ's crucifixion. Without the cross work of Christ, there will be no blood atonement. There would be no salvation. You take Calvary out of salvation, you have no salvation. There is no other way that the wrath of a holy God that we were thinking upon could be removed. He gave himself that he might deliver us. Deliver us from what? From the wrath of God. Sinner, you can be delivered tonight. You stand condemned, but you can be delivered tonight. One of the most amazing aspects of the gospel, that we who were held in sin, bound to sin, yet the gospel sets us free. What this world needs to hear tonight is this gospel of God. Paul was able to say in those verses that we read, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you see, we dare to tamper with the gospel, or we dare to take out those parts of the gospel that we think may not be too popular or may be unpalatable. Then you might as well keep your mouth shut. The centrality of the gospel, Christ's coming, Christ's crucifixion. But it also is seen in Christ's crowning. Back in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 4 it says, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ is not on a cross tonight. Rome wants to depict Christ humiliated and weak on a cross because it fits their agenda. And the problem is, too many Protestants want to go along with it. Christ is not on the cross tonight. Praise God. Christ rose from the dead. And as we were looking at this morning, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The resurrection of the dead And there he pleads for us. He is accepted before God. His work was finished. And here's the key to it all. You can trust him tonight. You can stake your whole life upon him. Tonight, Christ is your only Savior because he lived for you. Tonight, Christ is your only Savior because he died for you. Tonight, Christ is your only Savior because he lives again for you. The tomb is empty. The cross is vacant. Tonight, Christ has finished the work his Father gave him to do. That work was accepted. How do I know? Because the Spirit of God raised the Son of God from the dead. Vindication that the work of the Son was accepted. And you can trust him tonight. You can depend upon him. The centrality of the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you tonight, is Christ your Savior? If not, then I pray that before this meeting would be over, that you would come. Come to the cross. Come see there the one who died for you that you might be saved. The one who gave himself that he might deliver you from your sin. The claims of the gospel, the centrality of the gospel. But finally, what really is the gospel? Well, we can't simply leave it there because we see that there is the command of the gospel. We've seen the claims of the gospel. Its author, its God, its authority, there is no other gospel. Its announcement, we are sinners. And the centrality of the gospel all centers in Christ. But as I said at the start, the gospel lays claim upon every life, upon every man, woman, young person, older person. It places claim in your life. And you know, you can never be neutral in the gospel. What does the gospel demand of you? What does the gospel demand of you tonight? What is the command of the gospel? Well, let Christ himself, the one who came into this world to provide that gospel, to procure that salvation for us, let him tell us what the command of the gospel is. Because right at the very commencement of his ministry, what did he tell his hearers? What was his message to the people? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. As he spoke to men, women, condemned under the wrath of God, he commanded them, repent and believe the gospel. Here's the free offer of the gospel. Thank God for that. And if Christ offered the free offer of the gospel, knowing all his elect and all who would be saved, then I'm going to offer the free gospel as well. People will tell us tonight, well, you can't tell sinners they need to be saved. Well, Christ did. Greatest preacher who ever lived commanded sinners to repent and believe the gospel. And tonight, that's what you need to do. That's the command of the gospel to you tonight. Repent, turn away from your sin, and receive the gospel. You see, the gospel's not just about a message, a wonderful message. Good news, though it is. There's also a mandate. You need to repent. You can't live on the way you're living. You need to turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. For except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Perish under the wrath of God. Perish in hell for all eternity because of your sin. If you refuse to repent and believe the gospel, God will never overlook your sin. Your sin will either be punished in Christ or it will be punished in hell. What will it be? The gospel that would convert you tonight. If you refuse the claims of the gospel, refuse the centrality of the gospel, refuse the command of the gospel, that gospel that would convert you tonight will one day rise up and condemn you. Oh, will you turn to Christ tonight? The one who is central to this whole gospel. Will you receive him? Will you repent? Will you believe the gospel? This is the gospel of God. The gospel that tells me I am a sinner. The gospel that tells me because of my sin I'm under God's wrath. But the gospel that tells me Christ is my only Savior. It's good news from start to finish. Therefore, what will you do with the gospel of God tonight? As I've said, you will hear better preachers of the gospel than this one. But you'll never hear a better gospel preached. What will you do tonight with the gospel? What will you do with Christ? Will you live on in your sin? Will you ignore the gospel? Will you reject the gospel? Will you die in your sin and that gospel rise up to condemn you in the day of judgment? Oh, that tonight you would repent. That tonight you would come to the cross of Christ. There you'll find mercy. There you'll find forgiveness. Come to Christ tonight. Come and be saved. And then you can experience for yourself what the gospel really is all about. Because it is really better felt than telt. Let's bow in prayer.